The first verse of Bhagavad Gita.
And then we will read the last verse of Bhagavad Gita. And we will see how Bhagavad Gita is, you could say, tied together by these two verses as one unit. First of all, you could repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So, Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Chapter 1, Observing the Armies on the Battlefield of Kurukshetra. Text 1. Dhritarashtra uvacha. Dharmakshetre Kurukshetre Samaveta yuyutsavaha. Mamaka pandavaschaiva. Kim akurvata sanjaya. Translation. Dhritarashtra said, O Sanjaya, after my sons and the sons of Pandu assembled in the place of pilgrimage at Kurukshetra, desiring to fight, what did they do? And let us read the last verse. This is chapter 18, The Perfection of Renunciation, text 78. And this is, well, the first verse was Dhritarashtra questioning Sanjaya, his secretary. And the last verse, 1878, is Sanjaya answering the question. Yatra Yogeshvara Krishna, Yatra Partho Dhanurdhara, Tatra Shriya Vijayo Bhutir, Dhruva Nityir Matir Mama. Wherever there is Krishna, the master of all mystics, and wherever there is Arjuna, the supreme archer, there will also certainly be opulence, victory, extraordinary power, and morality. That is my opinion. So, let us say a few words about this. Let us read a little from Srila Prabhupada's purport to the last verse. Srila Prabhupada says, the Bhagavad Gita began with an inquiry of Dhritarashtra's. He was hopeful of the victory of his sons, assisted by great warriors like Bhishma, Drona, and Karna. He was hopeful that the victory would be on his side. But after describing the scene on the battlefield, Sanjaya told the king, you are thinking of victory, but my opinion is that where Krishna and Arjuna are present, there will be all good fortune. He directly confirmed that Dhritarashtra could not expect victory for his side. victory was certain for the side of Arjuna because Krishna was there. Krishna's acceptance of the post of charioteer for Arjuna was an exhibition of another opulence. Krishna is full of all opulences, and renunciation is one of them. There are many instances of such renunciation, for Krishna is also the master of renunciation. Let me just read the verses again quickly. Dhritarashtra uvacha, dharmakshetre kurukshetre samaveta yuyutsavaha, mamaka pandavaschaiva, kim akurvata Sanjaya. Dhritarashtra said, O Sanjaya, after my sons and the sons of Pandu assembled in the place of pilgrimage at Kurukshetra, desiring to fight, what did they do? And the last verse, Yatra Yogeshvara Krishno, Yatra Partho Danurdara, Tatra Shriya Vijayo Bhutir, Dhruva Nityir Matiramama. Wherever there's Krishna, the master of all mystics, and wherever there's Arjuna, the supreme archer, there will also certainly be opulence, victory, extraordinary power, and morality. That is my opinion. Let us say a few words. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namani. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharani Niravishesha Shunyavadi Pastyachyade Shantarani Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So the two sides were assembled there on the battlefield, on that great field at Kurukshetra. Millions of warriors. Actually, we were there in Kurukshetra a few days ago. Well, actually, the 7th of November. 7th and 8th. 6th, 7th and 8th, in fact. We were in Kurukshetra. And I don't know if any of you have been there, but it's very interesting in that it is flat. Completely flat. The whole area, totally flat. And in the center of that area is the place called Jyotisar, where Lord Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, where this actually took place. So we went there. And we've been there before, but it was very, very nice. Very nice place. Very beautiful. So there, the armies were assembled. The Kauravas and the Pandavas, the sons of Dhritarashtra and their followers, and the sons of King Pandu and their followers. So they were assembled there, ready to fight. This verse, though, and the last verse, they are special, in that this verse is setting the scene in a certain sense, in a certain overall sense, in different senses actually, but particularly in an umbrella type of sense, because this verse and the last verse, they are like an umbrella within which the rest of Bhagavad Gita is situated. So here Dhritarashtra is asking a question of Sanjaya. They were in Hastinapur, current day Delhi, even old Delhi, that area. They were there, and the armies were assembled in Kurukshetra. Kurukshetra is some 200 kilometers to the north. The battle is about to take place, and Dhritarashtra is asking Sanjay, what happened? What's going on there? Sanjay, how would Sanjay know? Because Sanjay has a special type of yogic vision. He can see what is going on in other places by the mercy of his guru, Vyas. So therefore, Dhritarashtra knew that Sanjay would know, and it's not just some foolish question or unanswerable question. He knew that Sanjaya would know. So Dhritarashtra asked, as we've read now twice, what did my sons and the sons of Pandu do? They are assembled there with their armies, hundreds of millions of people, many, many, many warriors, assembled there with weapons in hand, already arranged in different military formations for making different strategic maneuvers. And Dhritarashtra is apparently asking, when they assembled there on the battlefield, what did they do? It is one of those questions which he's not really asking, what did they do? Because what would you think they would do? Sit down and have a cup of tea. Not really. What did they do assembled there on the battlefield, desiring to fight? Well, they fought, of course. But it is not that Dhritarashtra is just asking a silly question, some sort of foolish question. It's not exactly that. What Dhritarashtra is getting at, what his real point is who is going to win? It is just a sort of indirect, or in another sense, a perhaps little bit cultured way of asking, and not just being blunt about it. So therefore he puts it that way. What did they do when they assembled there? Well, of course they fought, but really he's asking, who's winning, who will win, who could win, who should win, in terms of different factors, who may win, who's likely to win. He himself acknowledges in this verse, indirectly he acknowledges, that it would appear very likely to be the Pandavas, means Arjuna, who Krishna is about to speak Bhagavad Gita to. And his oldest brother is Yudhisthira, who is actually the leader of that side, in fact. And Bhima, Nakula, Sahadev, the other brothers. So, that place, Kurukshetra, even Dhritarashtra himself, as you could say, almost the arch-villain. If he's not the arch-villain, at least his, the leader of his sons, Duryodhan, he is definitely the arch-villain, and not Dharmatma. Not a religiously or spiritually minded person at all. In fact, he is basically, whatever he does, he's simply in it for himself. So a very materialistic, selfish person. Not Dharma Atma. Dharma Atma, a person dedicated to Dharma. So, but the Pandavas, they were. First of all, the Pandavas are the intimate associates of Lord Krishna and extremely dear associates of Lord Krishna. And Lord Krishna, he is Vishnu, he is the Lord. He is the Supreme Lord. So, they're very closely connected with the Supreme Lord. They're extremely pious, extremely honest. Yudhisthira is famous as the person who never told a lie. So they really are Dharam Atmas. They're very pure-hearted, spiritually minded, very religious people. And that place, Kurukshetra, even Dhritarashtra refers to it as Dharmakshetra, Kurukshetra. They are assembled there at that Dharmakshetra. That word Kshetra means an area, a field or an area where specific activity goes on. Kshetra. Often it just applies to a farmer's fields, which is specific area where specific things go on. So that Kurukshetra, it is the place of the Kurus, but it is Dharmakshetra. It is a place of Dharma. In fact, even before Lord Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita at Kurukshetra, Kurukshetra was already famous as a place of pilgrimage and a place for the performance of yajna. And indeed, well, we mentioned that Jyotisar is there where Lord Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita, but there's also Brahmakund, or Brahma Sarova is there, right in the middle of the town, this big lake, it is said to be the navel lake of Garbhadakshay Vishnu, they say. So it had been, and to this day it still is, and it had been even at that time 5,000 years ago, a place of Dharma, when people would want to perform some religious ceremony, some big religious ceremony, they would often go there. And we know that shortly before the battle, there was, as described in Srimad Bhagavatam, there was a great solar eclipse. And when there are eclipses, at least in India, at least it used to be nowadays, of course the times have changed, but previously it was, when there's an eclipse, of course through the astronomy, the people would know exactly even when the eclipse would take place. So when there was an eclipse, people would go and gather in a sacred place, not just a sacred place, but a sacred place where there was either a sacred river or a sacred lake. And when the eclipse would actually happen, because eclipses are extremely inauspicious, the people would enter the sacred waters in the sacred place and chant mantras and do different things to really focus spiritually to offset the negativity of the eclipse. So when that great solar eclipse occurred, from all over northern India, people assembled at Kurukshetra. And even Lord Krishna himself and all his associates and relatives from Dwaraka, Gujarat, right on the west coast, they all came to Kurukshetra. And then Nanda Maharaj, Mother Yashoda, and all the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they all came from Vrindavan to Kurukshetra. And from Gujarat, from Dwaraka, I hate to think how long it is, how far it is. It may be 1,000 kilometers. It's hundreds and hundreds of kilometers. Even from Vrindavan to Kurukshetra is about plus or minus 350, 400. So they all went because it was already such a well-known sacred place. So Dhritarashtra, he is actually in anxiety. This is why he's asking. He is not just feeling confident and arrogant that my sons, they have a much bigger side, much more powerful, so they're going to win. Actually, he's in anxiety, therefore he's asking. Sanjaya, he's in anxiety. Dharmakshetra, Kurukshetra, Samaveta Yuyutsavaha. What happened there? What is happening there at that great place of pilgrimage, Kurukshetra? So then Sanjaya starts to describe, and the whole Bhagavad Gita unfolds. Krishna's discussion with Arjuna, convincing him to fight, and why he should fight on the basis of the principles of Dharma. But then we come to the last verse which we read. The last verse is actually Sanjaya answering Dhritarashtra's question, and doing so in a very cultured way also. Sanjaya, he said, Yatra Yogeshvara Krishna. Wherever there is Krishna, who is the Yogeshwar, the master of all mystics, of all mystical powers and all mystical people. Wherever there is Krishna, and wherever Yatra Partha Dhanurdhara, wherever there is Partha, Arjuna, the wielder of the bow, Dhanurdhara, the Gandiva bow. Wherever there's Krishna, wherever there's Arjuna, there will certainly be Yatrashriya, opulence, Vijayo, victory, Bhutiya, opulence, victory, power, and Niti, morality. Niti means maintaining the rules and regulations, proper, correct standards in life. So, yes, wherever there's Krishna, the master of all mystics, wherever there's Arjuna, the great archer, there'll certainly be opulence, victory, extraordinary power, and morality. He could have told Dhritarashtra, well, your sons are finished. I'm sorry. Well, I don't even know if I'm sorry, really, but they're just finished. Bad luck for you. He could have said that. And many people nowadays, they would say such a thing. But just as Dhritarashtra expressed himself in couched words, so Sanjaya expresses himself with couch words. Among other things, Hare Krishna, welcome.
This opinion that was given by Sanjaya was before the actual battle took place.
Yes. He's giving his opinion. Hare Krishna. Kim Cha. Saracha. Chalia Kare. Hare Bol. Yes, right. So, as Dhritarashtra spoke in a sort of gentlemanly way, not wanting to be crude or rude or just too forward, so Sanjay answered in the same way, because, among other things actually, it is inauspicious to be the bearer of bad news. Better to say nothing than say some bad news. You know, even there's the idea, don't kill the messenger just because he's bringing bad news. But Sanjaya, after all, Dhritarashtra is his employer. And what will be. However the battle will work out, it will work out. Sanjaya cannot influence how it's going to work out, and what he says will not influence how it will work out. It will work out however it works out. But as far as he's concerned, it's clear to him that on one side you have all these. They are really rascals. Srila Prabhupada would use the word rascal, which in English, of course, normally means a naughty little child. But in Indian English, at least, you know, going back 100 years, to call someone a rascal is like calling them, well, we cannot say. But it's like calling them something like that. It's really, you know, it's shocking. In decent company, you could not use such terminology. It would be considered highly offensive. But actually, they were rascals. As we mentioned, that Duryodhana, he was just materialism personified. He wanted the kingdom for himself. He was a good manager. He was very intelligent and clever. But basically the idea was to make use of the facilities for himself. Me first and everybody else a more distant second. He was a very abusive person, very dishonest person. We know that Yudhisthira, we mentioned Yudhisthira, he was such an honest person, he had never told a lie in his life. He never told a lie. There was one incident while the Pandavas were in exile, in the forest. Duryodhana decided one day to come out and see how they're doing, in the sense of, let us see how they're just sitting under the tree. They don't, what to speak of thrones, they don't even have chairs. They're just sitting on the earth. And what to speak of not having palaces, they don't even have some little small dwelling. They're living under the trees. And what to speak of having all sorts of foodstuffs available of any sort. What do they have? They just have whatever fruits and roots and things like that may be there on hand in the forest. So actually Duryodhana's idea was to go there and have a laugh. Look at them and mock them. So he went, On the way, though, he was accosted by a Gandharva. What was the name of that Gandharva? Chitraratha? Anyway, one Gandharva. Any Mahabharata experts here? Or Chitrangada? Anyway, one Gandharva. Gandharva means a higher level human being. Higher level than the human beings on this planet. But still within the human species. They are like, you could say, lower demigods, devas and devis, but not universal controllers. But still, they're in that sort of group, at least lower level. So extremely powerful by human standards. So this one Gandharva stopped Duryodhana and challenged him on the spot to fight. And they fought. And Duryodhana was about to be killed by that Gandharva. The word got to Yudhisthira, Bhima, Arjuna and them in the forest. This is happening just around the corner. So, some of them said, good. Because they were not happy with Duryodhana. Yudhisthira, though, as such an upstanding man of just absolutely impeccable integrity, he said, oh, we must go and help him. And the others said, no, what do you want to help him for? Help his opponent. But Yudhisthira said, no, he's our cousin. We have to help him. So he went and helped him and saved his life. And I forget the details of the story. I think he drove away the Gandharva. I don't know if he killed him, but anyway,
drove him away.
And Duryodhana's life was spared, saved by the mercy of Yudhisthira. Still, Duryodhana wanted to kill Yudhisthira and abuse and cheat him and steal from him. And finally, at the end, Yudhisthira, well, right at the end, just before the battle, Yudhisthira told Duryodhana that, let us avoid this battle. We are Kshatriyas. We have to rule something. Give us each a village, 5 villages, and that will be it. Then you just carry on. You be the king of the whole planet. And Duryodhana's famous reply was, I will not give you enough land to push a needle, a pin, into. So, what can you say? Just see the difference in character. So anyway, Dhritarashtra was inquiring in a sort of genteel type of way, and Sanjaya is responding in a similar way, not wanting to just be too loud about it all. But to Sanjaya, it's clear. It's very clear that because Arjuna is such a great devotee of the Lord, and Yudhisthira, and generally the leaders on their side, extremely upstanding people, morally, religiously, and fully dedicated to the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. Because of that, and because Krishna himself was personally there to guide them and lead them, direct them, then, as far as Sanjaya is concerned, there's no doubt they'll be victorious. So this is Bhagavad Gita, actually. This is ultimately the purport of Bhagavad Gita, is that the Lord, the Supreme Lord, is the leader of all living entities. Whatever he desires becomes fact. Whatever we desire, well, it depends. But I think if a lot of people got more of what they desire, life would be very different nowadays. But because people are not getting a lot of what they desire, therefore life these days is really quite a mess, actually. But Krishna, whatever he desires, is fact, becomes fact by his will. So how can there be any doubt that if the will of the Supreme Lord is in one way, how could there be any doubt that things would go that way or could possibly go another way? It's not possible. Not possible at all. So, actually, Mahabharata begins. The first chapter is the lamentation of Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra is, I don't know how many times, but every single verse, first chapter of Mahabharata, Dhritarashtra is lamenting that when this happened, I knew we were going to lose. When that happened, I knew we were going to lose. When something else happened, I knew we were going to lose. So he knew. He already knows. That's why he's in anxiety. Oh, we're going to lose. It's a sad scene. Even he knows. Yes. So the purport ultimately is, of course, in Bhagavad Gita, the body of Bhagavad Gita is Krishna explaining to Arjuna that you, as my eternal part and parcel, as an eternal but personal fragment of myself, you should surrender to me. You should serve me. As Krishna concludes his instruction to Arjuna, sarva dharman parichaja mam ekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha eshami mashuchaha. Just give up all other types of dharma and just take shelter of me. Take refuge in me. Surrender to me. Sharanam. Mama. And aham tvam sarva pap. I will take all your pap. I will take all your sinful reactions, all your karma, all the negativity which may be there from your living in this world for a long time. I will take it all and mokshayishyami. You will be liberated. You'll achieve moksha. You'll be liberated. You'll be freed. Mashuchaha. Don't worry. There's no need to worry. That is the end of Krishna's instructions to Arjuna, basically. But the purport of the final of Sanjay's words to Dhritarashtra, well, it's a confirmation of that, that everyone should live in that way. Everyone should live in that way, taking shelter as Arjuna. As Arjuna took shelter of Krishna, and as a result of that achieved opulence, victory, extraordinary power and morality. So everyone should do that. We should do that. And in that way, make our lives auspicious and build bright futures for ourselves by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the way. Of course, nowadays, people are finally beginning to realize more that we, human beings, are ruining this planet. They're finally beginning to actually understand in a more serious type of way. Through again, rampant materialism. In their own little ways, everyone is following in the footsteps of Duryodhan. In their own little ways, and exploiting whatever they can of this material world for themselves. But a group of our devotees in Europe doing research, they are PhDs and highly intelligent and qualified people, scientists, doing research into the environment and the capacities of this planet to facilitate, to offer ingredients for the human beings. So our devotees there, studying all these things in detail, what is the consumption of materials per capita, particularly in the United States, food and just everything which is used by human beings, either directly or indirectly. And noting that the whole planet, including South Africa, is following in the footsteps of the Americans in their own ways, with their own little here South African flavor. But still the basic program is follow in the footsteps of the Americans and become big consumers. So they calculated in terms of the capability of the planet to produce food, to produce wood, to produce oil, to produce metal, to produce just what's used, everything that's used. Their calculation is, if the whole planet, everybody on the planet, was to consume as much as the average American, we will need 6 planets. Yes, 6 planets. And it's only because some countries are still poverty-stricken and just beneath the sort of standard of living for a human being, that this planet is still able to sustain us for the time being. But don't worry, we're working on it. Here we go. Look out, Mother Nature. Here we come. So really the answer is to not follow in the footsteps of Duryodhan. And even, you know, all the efforts now, as we were saying earlier, people are trying to go green and whatever various other sort of perspectives on that type of idea and stop the global warming and all that. But unless what Sanjaya is saying, the purport of what Sanjaya is saying is that people, if the planet is to be saved, the only way to actually save it, and then not just save it, but then produce something really worthwhile out of it, and good living and happiness and like that. The only way to achieve that is to follow in the footsteps of Arjuna as the servant of Krishna. As Krishna says, Manmana Bhava Madbhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru. You should think of me, become my devotee, worship me, offer your namaskars, your respects, obeisances. You should glorify me like that. And then, Mame Vaishyasi. In this way you'll come to me. I promise you this. So this is Krishna promising. Krishna is God. His promise is solid. Krishna does not use flexi speak. When the circumstances are one way, we'll say one thing, and when the circumstances go another way, we'll say another thing. No, Krishna's not a flexi speak person. When Krishna gives some instruction and gives some direction and guidance, then that is real and that should be applied, that should be followed. So really, everyone should not follow in the footsteps of Duryodhana, who was following in the footsteps of Ravan. They're the same line. Ravan, who was fighting Lord Ram, he stole Sita. Sita is Lakshmi. Lakshmi Devi, goddess of fortune. So Duryodhana, he is a little Ravan, and he would like to steal Lakshmi in the form at least of all the resources, because Lakshmi Devi, she's in charge of the resources. So Duryodhana and nowadays his followers, they'd like to steal all the resources, use them for themselves, and that's it basically. But that is just as Dhritarashtra actually knows. It is a doomed program, doomed to failure from the outset. Dhritarashtra knows it. And Sanjay knows the positive program, obey Krishna, follow the guidance of Krishna, serve Krishna, and then there'll be opulence, victory, extraordinary power, and morality. And we can live happily by the mercy of the Lord, at the lotus feet of the Lord, in the service of the Lord. Let me just conclude by reading one or two verses from Gita Mahatmya. Gita Mahatmya is a small section of Padma Purana, where Bhagavad Gita is glorified. Gita Mahatmya means glories of the Bhagavad Gita. It's very nice. Sarvopanishado gavo dogta gopala nandana partho vatsa sudhir bokta dugtam gitam ritam mahat. This Gita Upanishad, Bhagavad Gita, the essence of all the Upanishads, is just like a cow. And Lord Krishna, who is famous as Gopal, as a cowherd boy, is milking this cow. Arjuna is just like a calf. And learned scholars and pure devotees are to drink the nectarian milk of Bhagavad Gita. That's the second to last verse of Gita Mahatmya. And then the last verse, Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gitam Eko Devo Devaki Putra Eva Eko Mantras Tasya Namami Yani Karmapyekam Tasya Devasya Seva. Actually, even though it's in Sanskrit, it's quite simple. It's very simple Sanskrit. If you understand Hindi, you can understand that. You can understand that easily. Prabhupada gives a sort of broad translation. In this present day, people are very much eager to have one scripture, one God, one religion, and one occupation. Therefore, Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gitam. Let there be one scripture only, one common scripture for the whole world, Bhagavad Gita. Eko Devo, one deity. Devaki Putra Eva. Let there be one God for the whole world, Sri Krishna. Eko Mantras, Tasya Namami Yani. And one hymn, one mantra, one prayer. The chanting of Krishna's names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Karmapyekam Tasya Devasya Seva. And let there be one work, the service of the Supreme Lord Krishna. Hare Krishna. So let's try and apply this in our lives. It is extremely valuable. Is extremely valuable. And our prediction, we have many predictions, but one is, just as global warming has sort of heated things up in the minds of so many people, oh my gosh, it really, so many people, their perspectives on life have changed due to global warming. Our prediction is that various other things will happen to sort of, you know, along with it. I mean, the rise of terrorism, for example, militant Islam, and other things will rise, and the people will see, you know, what to speak of financial crises, what will happen to the euro, what will happen to Italy? Mr. Berlusconi, is that his name? Just bowed out. You know, he was like not exactly an optimist. In fact, he wasn't an optimist. He was a marketer. He was very good at marketing. Yeah. Marketing hope. But when he saw that the hope was finished, there was no hope. You know, everything's just collapsing. He got out. Smart. And when it actually collapses, some other poor fool will be there. And he'll get blamed. So our prediction is, things will not improve as things have deteriorated drastically. Just in the last 5 years, just as things have deteriorated drastically, like the crime in South Africa, yes, our prediction is it will not improve. While the path of materialism, selfishness, just acquisitiveness and a lack of godliness, while that is the program, the same downward course will continue until gradually people start getting the idea, oh, we tried everything else. Maybe we should turn to God. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much for that enlightening discourse.
Thank you.
The benefit of those that don't know Bhakti Chaitanya, His Holiness Bhakti Chaitanya Swami Maharaj, has taken shelter in me. He's always inspired us endlessly with these discourses. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yes, any questions, comments?
Maharaj, it is being said that this is also what is known as golden age, because it seems to be a rejuvenation or an inclination towards spirituality.
Well, that's also true to some degree, yes. So
hopefully if it gets stronger, we may be able to ward off some of the effects.
Well, yes. See, this is the thing, really. You know, like we said, there's been a deterioration in different respects. That's clear. And as we said, eventually people, meaning on a larger scale, will get the idea. You know, not just we've got to reduce the carbon footprint, but we've got to reduce a whole lot of things and change a whole lot of things and become more godly and actually apply Bhagavad Gita in our lives. But having said that, as you say, there are already some people, not enough to really change the world so much yet, but there's definitely people and becoming more and more people who are aware of these things, you know, the deterioration and the need for spirituality. Even when I was young, there was the hippie period. And in its own sort of very unusual way, it was really an attempt for that. Really. Mm-hmm. You know, love, peace.
Yeah.
In very abstract and, you know, rough ways. And with a lot of confusion. It was really an attempt for something spiritual and the awakening of a spiritual type of instinct, at least. But, you know, a very important point in that regard, and very nice point, is that Krishna's spoken Bhagavad Gita here, that was 5,000 years ago. 500 years ago, Krishna appeared again as Lord Chaitanya to give. You know, it's one thing for us to say we should follow in the footsteps of Arjuna, as we said, and serve Krishna and be Dharmatmas, follow Dharma like that. That's one thing. In principle, it's correct. But to be specific, there's a specific form to that, according to the Lord. What is really Dharma for this age? When Krishna says, Sarva Dharman Parichaja, abandon other forms of Dharma and Mam Ekam Sharanam, just take shelter in me only. Lord Chaitanya, who's Krishna, gave the particular process that should be the focal point of people's endeavors spiritually in this age, and that is the chanting of the names of the Lord. Yes. Harir Nam, Harir Nam, Harir Nam Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasjeva, 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 Gatir Anyata. Actually, that's a very ancient verse. Puranic, Brihannaradiya Purana. This very ancient verse that one must Harir Nam three times. One must chant the names of Hari, Krishna. One must chant the names of Hari. One must chant the names of Hari. Kalo Nasjeva, Nasjeva, Nasjeva. There's no other way, no other way, no other way. Gatiya Anyata, to achieve the goal. in Kali Yuga, Kalo Nastyeva. So the form of what we're saying in terms of like a specific program, what to do practically, is that everyone should chant the names of the Lord. And this can form a strong foundation for developing a life of dharma, a life of service to Krishna, a life of morality. And without that foundation, then other attempts at dharma and trying to do good things and nice things, they tend to fall short at least, and even to deteriorate themselves, because the foundation is not strong enough. Just like, I mean, it's not a very good example in one sense, but it's a type of example. The hippies, seeing we mentioned them, mm-hmm. You know, they understood vividly that the middle class American way of life was rotten. They understood clearly in their own sort of youthful and not well-informed ways. And so they tried to do a counterculture. But because there was no good foundation, well, the whole thing collapsed almost immediately, actually, just after a few years. But for people who would like to really spiritualize their lives and improve their lives and actually do something, first of all, for themselves, but then for the world, first of all, they should chant the names of the Lord. And that will give that foundation of spiritual strength and solidity and stability to then be able to do things dynamically, spiritually, to help change the world and influence people. Good point.
Interesting perspective about the hippies, because in the initial form of, you know, just release, but they had approached it by music as being the main instrument to get through.
Yeah.
And one could see that it was goalless in the end, because the drive, or should we say, like you rightly said, the foundation wasn't there. So the clear vision was what was lacking.
They knew what was wrong. At least they had some idea of many things which are wrong. They didn't really know what was right.
Because that music really brought them together.
It
attracted them in droves.
Yeah.
That's true.
But then they got into drugs.
Yeah.
They thought, this is how we'll
get high.
Yeah. Well, how we will think in a better way. But it was not true at all. And just, you know, sex and all these things. So it fell to pieces almost as quickly as it came, as it started, yeah.
Any other question?
I think you can serve prasad. Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. So we'll have an arti.
Yes.
Guru Puja to Srila Prabhupada. So everyone can stand up, yeah?
Yeah.